Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy, today on January 20th of 2022. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we are here to talk more about Toonami and other anime we've been watching, with more news! So, well, first they did premiere Made in Abyss, we'll talk about that, but first we have news. We know... And which they, again, as they have the last few times announced, kind of last minute, what the schedule will be for next week, specifically what series they're premiering. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So One Piece is coming back, and I don't know really anything about where One Piece has gone since we left. But from the title of the episode, I get the feeling it's like starting at a pretty good spot. Am I right in thinking that?
What's the name of the episode?
I don't have it right here. Let's see.
Because I remember reading that they aren't going from directly where we left off. They're skipping forward a number of episodes.
Yeah.
Let me take a look at it myself. I just need to see what number it was. 517,
yeah.
Do we have the name of that, or... See, dear listener, this is kind of hard-cutting news reporting you get from us. Us realizing we need to look something up and spending time on the podcast doing so. A new chapter begins. The Straw Hat Crew reunites. Yeah, and where exactly were we at the end of the previous one? It was the end of Thriller Bark, so let me see if I can check on that. So, okay, so we Thriller Bark ended an episode. I'm not sure if this numbering I'm looking at includes the filler episodes, but it ended at 381, and now we're starting on episode 517. So we're skipping forward about 130-ish episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why they're doing that, really. That's kind of a shame, because I've heard that it's post-time skip where the anime's pacing starts to get really bad.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is...
Whenever you say pacing gets really bad, do you mean things go too fast or things go too slow?
Too slow. Because, I realized I threw out the phrase post-time skip without explaining it. Midway through One Piece, there's a time skip of a few years. And this episode is the first thing right after the time skip we'll be getting. So, I've heard that the pacing starts getting really slow because the anime apparently decided we're not going to do filler anymore. We'll just pad stuff out instead. And One Piece, the anime does not take breaks. It has a new episode every week. And... So, as you can start to realize, to avoid catching up, they start doing padding stuff, and which I've heard just gets... It has more and more padding as the series goes on. I don't think at this point we're at the worst of it, but this is supposedly the point where it starts getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see, but I've gone all... This is all hearsay. I have not been watching the One Piece anime, so I kind of felt like maybe I should just watch an episode just to see if it's what people say it is. But yeah, I'm a little sad about that because I would have liked to have gone from where we left off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figure everyone who watched that has moved on, so they're just trying to find a good starting point for new viewers.
Yeah, but... On the other, But the other problem I have, of course, is so truth be told, the stuff from where the anime ended up through a certain part in the manga, I never really read. I knew the broad strokes of it, but not like the specifics. And I was thinking, oh, it would be cool to watch that now, but I guess not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll see. We'll see what goes on, but we do have one piece back, and I think they might have announced something just before. They're premiering Shenmue the animation on not this week or the week after that, but the week after that one. So, I don't know if that's a series or anything else about it, but, well, it's not going to be here for a few weeks. We've already kind of awkwardly mumbled about this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the stuff we actually watched. And we'll, of course, be beginning with the stuff we actually saw on Toonami. First, we have Blade Runner Black Lotus Episode 10. So, in this episode, she talks to that guy who used to be the Blade Runner who is helping her out, and we get a very lengthy flashback from him, which could have just been him saying, well, I quit Blade Runner, being a Blade Runner because I had to kill this, because as a result I had to kill this woman I actually kind of liked, so I left. And I'm like, okay, you could have just said that. Instead of going for, what was that, like 12, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
I forgot it even was a flashback. I was trying to remember, what's going on? Who are these characters again? That's the main thing. I don't have that much to really say about it other than that. It was kind of a dull episode.
Yeah, this show goes a little too slow at times, and this is one of them.
It's especially a shame because I did think the last several episodes were decent. Even the clip show episode wasn't that bad, but this one just kind of goes back to being more boring. So I'm not. I guess we'll see what's left. We've only got two episodes left of the series. To see. And then we'll be moving on to, I think the replacement is Shenmue the Animation or whatever it was.
So that's going to replace Blade Runner Black Lotus.
Yes. But I think we're supposed to get something else that's new between One Piece and that. I'm not sure what it is. My guess is they'll probably premiere Yashahime then.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't premiere it, I don't know. Maybe we'll just start watching the dub on our own off Toonami if they don't.
Mm, yeah.
You know. And by the way, it was really annoying when I was on this one site and because I was looking at like some review stuff and I was looking at Anime News Network and because I was trying to see like some episode reviews they had, and then it has one, you know, like the article for Yashahime episode, I don't know, 15 or 16 season 2, which is fine, except for the fact that literally the picture they show from the episode is a spoiler.
I know what spoiler you're talking about.
and then they describe, and then of course the very you know, like how when you see a list of articles and there's a little preview that shows a little of the beginning. And of course, that has a spoiler right in there.
Mm-hmm.
One that was kind of already spoiled by the picture, but at least someone might not necessarily be reading that. It's just, come on, don't put a spoiler right there. To be fair, it was the kind of thing I knew I was pretty sure would happen, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we've got Assassination Classroom episodes 25 and 26. So Koro Sensei is able to. So when we last left them, Itona and what's his name? I can't remember. The sort of like the guy who wears the thing so that you can't see his face. but he like get trapped apparently. But Koro Sensei is able to get out from them. To cut a long story short, we find out the Itona kind of gets abandoned by the other guy, but they're able to get the tentacle stuff out of his head that he had by calming him down, and we get his backstory, which thankfully they spend maybe 1 minute of a flashback on, and I'm just like, thank you, efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So then he just kind of ends up joining the class, and then the series basically goes turns briefly into kind of the sort of thing you'd see on Baka and Test, where the characters, where the guys are trying to make this small like remote control car to try to like spy on Koro Sensei, but then they realize, oh wait, we could totally use this to look at the girls from below, and end up working on that, but then it gets destroyed. And then there's a bit where everyone ends up with wacky code names, and basically the whole joke is, hey, they're referring to each other with their wacky code names that they've apparently memorized very quickly.
Yeah, what was the point of that code name thing? I mean, I didn't really see the point in it.
I think it was just supposed to be, because this was originally a manga, I think that was just supposed to be like a one-off comedy chapter, really. But it seems a little weird when you put it into the anime. I think it might have also, the beginning was weird because the character is taught, there's all this talking about how their names are said differently than the way, how this one character's name is, can be pronounced multiple ways, and their parent gave them a bad one. That's a reference to how, because of the fact that the Japanese kanji symbols can have multiple, like, pronunciations, it's actually possible for someone's name to be read multiple ways,
mm-hmm.
which is weird. But yeah, I mean, look, I thought it was funny. So that worked. It was, dang, I think I wrote, oh, wait, one sec. I just realized, why I am not doing. Okay, never mind. I thought I wrote something. It doesn't matter. But yeah, I don't know. So what did you think of them?
I wasn't really into the episodes all that much. I don't know. I feel like it's the same thing every episode. They try some plan to kill Koro Sensei, saying it always fails, obviously, but it just wasn't too interesting to me.
I mean, I liked him. I do, even if it kind of felt pointless in the grand scheme of things, I did think it was kind of funny, just the crazy names that some of them had, which I thought I wrote down, but I guess I didn't, so I was going to say, oh, this is a really funny ones, but like I said, I cannot remember what any of them were. I just remember that they were funny. Wasn't one of them something like, it was like something protagonist, and it was like of some like genre, like brooding sniper game protagonist or something.
I know what the funniest one was. You forgot about this. Nagisa's code name was Gender. that was a good one. The rest of them I didn't really pay much attention to, but whenever I saw he was named Gender, that was pretty funny. At least they make fun of their own, you know, like they're well aware that Nagisa looks like a girl. They're not trying to pretend otherwise, so that was pretty funny. My code name for the girl who's on the phone all the time, I call her NFT because That's like about as accurate as it gets what she actually is. Like, I don't know what an NFT is, but I don't know what that girl is either. So it kind of is the same thing, you know?
You know, that actually brings up something funny I kind of wanted to mention. So earlier this week, the Shonen Jump Twitter for like the English Shonen Jump. It's basically by a Viz Media. They publish a bunch of the Shonen Jump manga. So it's, you know, twitter.com/Shonen Jump. Anyway, they put out this tweet that let me actually pull it up so I can make sure I get exactly what it said. But it was just something about how like to let me just get it. Another thing I didn't get. Okay, so they just tweeted out this thing that said, "Soon you'll be able to show your Shonen Jump loving a whole new way. Exciting announcement tomorrow." And it got all. And if you look at like the Twitter replies, like half of them are just people saying, "Oh man, you had better not be talking about NFTs." And like people say, "I will unsubscribe if this is about NFTs." And then a few hours later, they put up this new tweet that just said, "It's not NFTs." And that one that just the tweet that said it's not NFTs was like the like everyone reacted like really positively to it. Was like the most liked, and it's like the most liked tweet they've ever done, apparently. Anyway, then the next day they announced what it was, and it was just and it turned out that, oh no, they were just going to like be selling like some t-shirts and stuff. And everyone's, "Oh well, that's kind of disappointing. I mean you can kind of get this stuff for cheaper at Target, but at least it's not NFTs."
Yeah.
And honestly, I only half understand what an NFT even is. But from what I do understand, it does sound, yeah, that kind of seems pointless. Okay. Anything else for Assassination Classroom or NFTs?
No, not really.
All right. Then we move on to our premiere, episode one of Made in Abyss. So basically, we find out that there is an abyss. Like the name says, and they send
Well,
people.
did we, hold on a second, did we ever figure out what the abyss was in Tales of the Abyss?
You know, that's a good point. I'm not sure. Then again, well, maybe I'm why was what was Symphonia in Tales of Symphonia again? Was that like the name of the country or?
No, the name was like Silveront or something. It wasn't Symphonia. I remember not knowing how Symphonia fit into the thing, and that whole Tales of the Abyss, we never found out what the abyss was.
Okay, so I'm glancing over the like a Wikipedia article just to see if I can find anything that explains the title. Takumi Miyajima, the game's writer, explained Tales of Symphonia was planned to create a unique symphonia dependent on the care player's choices in the affection system. There you go. There, but I don't know about Tales of the Abyss. Wasn't there some part where they had to descend into something? Was that in Abyss?
I don't remember.
I feel like there was, but I'm not sure if that was an actual abyss or, I mean, for all I know, they just pick random names.
Okay,
Anyway. So made in
go
abyss.
ahead.
We've
Sorry.
got an abyss, and there apparently there's stuff, a bunch of stuff there, including monsters, but also some treasure. So people go in to try to get stuff from there, and apparently the Orphanage, which I'm sure is completely above board, is sending kids down also to try to get stuff, which seems kind of inefficient considering they presumably aren't very good at, like they're like the characters are what, 12 years old or something? I would think even if it's because you're getting free labor, I don't think you would be able to get much out from them, but they're doing that. One of the kids finds this other kid there who they think is a robot or an android or something and secretly bring him up with them and are hiding him. And I think that's basically what happens. Most of it is just kind of, I guess, setting the scene. In terms of plot, it's basically, well, we found this kid who's maybe a robot and we brought him back.
Yeah, I don't know if it was because I was tired or because the episode was boring, but I just didn't really... This one did not connect with me in the first episode. So it's going to have to try harder next episode.
Yeah. I thought it was decent. I mean, I'm still interested in it. I am legitimately wondering, okay, so what's with the Abyss? What's actually at the bottom of the thing? Which is, of course...
China, of course. China's at the bottom.
Well, whatever it is unfortunately the sort of thing that you're only going to find out at the end of the series. I bet. Yeah, so I guess we'll keep up with it. I don't know too... I know a little bit about some of the stuff that happens. I don't know most of the specifics, but apparently I just see all these people say, oh, this series gets pretty dark. It deserves the TVMA rating after an episode that could... I mean, the first episode, this could pass for, like, TVPG, probably. So, yeah, I guess they just gave that designated for the whole series. So I guess we'll see what happens next. We'll see. After all of like hearing all this stuff of people saying, "Oh, it's really dark and stuff," I'm thinking, "Okay, well, I'm feeling weird going into this series." Okay. So, yep, and that's Made in Abyss. It's yep. By the way, do you... there's a sort of weird sort of tapping sound I'm hearing from you. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. We'll just move on then. Do you have something else to say?
No, it just was a pretty boring first episode, I thought. So it's going to have to do better.
Yeah, it is a little... It is just... I guess it's a bit boring, but I don't know. It got me at least kind of interested in some of the mysteries, but like I said, this seems like the kind of thing we're probably not going to find out for a while, so hopefully some interesting stuff will happen in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, so we finished with that. Now we move on we're done with the Toonami stuff now, so we'll go on to the other... series we checked out.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Bo episode 5. They run into what they call a meat in green soup alien who's after the who's after that white-haired boy that's kind of been following them around and saved Beauty that one time. They end up kind of fighting him, and that's a lot of the episode, except then it turns out the whole fight was actually just part of a play they were doing, and thus in getting him so wrapped in that, he forgot about the whole reason he was originally there, and then that's basically the episode.
Yep.
Once again, there's not too much to say about the plot, because there really wasn't one. It was just being silly. Mm-hmm. I think I remember when I was younger, I always thought of this as my least favorite episode of the series.
I don't know. I just feel like now I saw five episodes. How many episodes are we in?
Five.
Yeah, it feels to me like I've seen five episodes, but I've seen the entire series, because it feels like, okay, it's just going to be just wacky jokes, like, nonstop, which is like, you know, that's okay, but it's like, there's no real story to keep up with it. You know, there's nothing connecting these jokes to each other. Just kind of like one random thing at a time. And then there's this random thing and then this random thing. And it just doesn't feel like it's got a whole direction or anything to it.
Okay, are you not hearing anything? Because I'm really right. Well, I was a moment ago hearing like some sort of weird sort of like sort of almost pattering noise.
No, I don't hear it.
I wonder if this might be your microphone. Well, we'll look into that later. But we've gotten that. Yeah, it is an issue with the series early on in terms of being kind of repetitive, and that was why I seem to always remembered this one as my least favorite cut when I was younger. Looking back, I kind of think I might like this more than the third episode. But yeah, it is just a little too much nonsense. More of a plot does develop. I'm just trying to remember exactly when it is. But I do remember the early episodes are kind of repetitive. I mean, if you like ever get like totally tired of that, we could like try skipping forward a bit, at some point if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there were still some good bits here. I like the part, the recap where the narrator says Bobobo knew that it was a battle of wits and he was unarmed. That was good. So notice there were like, there's some bits here that are like totally references to like Japanese sort of folk tales. When the guy opens the thing and all the smoke comes out, and they're like, and according to this, it's supposedly something that turns you into a schlub, but that was like a reference to something, where you open something and it either super aged you or turned you into a baby. I can't remember which one, but. And then there's a part where Bobo comes out of the lake and is asking, which one of these did you drop, the golden or the silver one? And that's another, I think, Japanese folk tale. It's about something, you throw something into a lake and the guy pops out and says, hey, did you throw a silver or a gold one? And it wasn't either of those. And it was like some sort of test, like the idea if you say, because, you know, a greedy person would say, oh, it's a gold one, and, you know, to try to get it, and the person answers honestly, and then they get some kind of reward or something. So it's a reference to that. But, yeah, my other comment on this is that they claim the play is called Love is a Rose with Thorns and Aphids, but You Gotta Prune the Danish. And I was thinking, that sounds like a light novel title. Yeah, so kind of a weaker episode. I think it's after this one that they start to gradually develop things a little more, but we'll see. Okay. We've gotten that. We move on to Ascendance of a Bookworm, episode 3. So, let's see. Well, our main character, she invents pancakes. That's something. She manages to also make a basket because she learned of some stuff. She tries to make papyrus, but it doesn't work out so well. She's also apparently able to do math well, even though she learned the numbers or something. So that's all and such. Yeah, that's That's the big stuff that I remember.
Yeah, I feel like this show is like an alternate version of Dr. Stone, you know? Like, that's the way it feels to me. I thought this was probably the strongest episode so far. I mean, I didn't think too highly of the ones before, but I felt like, okay, so C's learning these things and inventing these things, and it's going to eventually turn into making books, I guess. But it really feels a lot like Dr. Stone. It's like, okay, we got to invent this. And then they invent it. It's like, okay, now we got to invent that. And, just a lot of similarities between the two shows.
Yeah, I really was thinking throughout this whole episode about how it was like Dr. Stone. And the problem is, I just keep thinking, well, yeah, but I think Dr. Stone did this better. But then I also have to stop and remember, well, yeah, but Dr. Stone didn't really start on the invention train until maybe like episode 7 or 8 when they mm-hmm. found the village. That's when it really kicked off. So mm-hmm. I have to be kind of fair and say, well, okay, we're only 3 episodes into this. Three episodes into Dr. Stone, I wasn't big on it either. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do agree that this was the most interesting episode so far, because it is actually does seem to be moving towards some things. I guess it's I'm just checking. Yeah, it was episode like 7, I think, where they first got into the village and started on things. So yeah. I mean, it's too bad it isn't Senku here, because if he was there at the start of this episode, by now he'd have probably got into airplanes. but since it's not him right now, we've just got into pancakes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, maybe airplanes was a little bit of a stretch, but we would have at least gone into the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we've gotten all of that. I do just hope the series, because I've seen like almost nothing but praise for this series, so I'm hoping, okay, I hope it gets more of a direction after this, because it seemed like it might be setting some stuff up, but it hasn't. It just hasn't been going there yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're done with that, and then we move on to Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works, Episode 2. So this is the one where basically this episode is mostly devoted to telling the viewer all the important stuff that we kind of already know because we watched Fate Zero.
Yeah.
Shiro, I'll be fair, even if it is basically telling us all that stuff, it still was at least done in a reasonable way. I wasn't really bored during it.
Actually, I really like this episode. I liked how Shiro would respond to the things that he was hearing, and I loved Tosaka. Saber, though, I don't remember her being so submissive in the original Fate Stay Night. Here she seems just like. I don't know how to put it other than just like really submissive. And she kind of had her own thoughts and ideas in the original Fate Stay Night. And now it's just kind of like, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want. You know, it's just, I'm a little confused why she seems to be just like, just an object now.
Well, I haven't seen the original, so I can't really comment. I know it'd been a long time since you've seen it, but when you mentioned that, are you talking about like at this point in the story in the original series still, or
overall? Actually,
okay, because I mean, if we're talking overall, maybe we just haven't gotten to the points where we see more of that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What I am left wondering, though, is so obviously, whichever way we went into watching this stuff would have its own advantages or disadvantages. But I'm just kind of left watching this and wondering to myself, what would I be thinking about this in that alternate universe where I never watched Fate Zero and I didn't know, yes, Kirei is absolutely the bad guy and he's the guy who killed Rin's father and, you know, all this other stuff. Like, what would I be thinking if I didn't know all that stuff about his character already? Mm-hmm. The series doesn't seem to be, like, trying to hide the fact that he's, like, shady, definitely. They're talking in, like, if he wasn't, he would have, like, turned the lights on when he was talking to them, I think.
Yeah.
And, at the end, Ilya shows up. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty good reveal there, especially because you instantly realize who she is because of the clothes she wears. So, that was a pretty good reveal there, and I'll be really interested to see how they use her character.
Yeah, it is because I'm just wondering, because right now we're still basically on the same sort of track as the original series, right? There haven't really been like big divergences in the plot yet.
Yeah, it seems to be the same to me.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering at what point we'll be going differently. So we'll probably be getting to that sort of thing soon. Maybe there's even been some more minor shifts that we just didn't know about yet. But yeah, it was enjoyable. We found out some stuff. It is still a little weird to me that it keeps like talking about, oh, you got to kill all the other masters. And Jiro's like, no. And I mean, that's fine. But I'm just thinking, like, Rin's right there. You know, she's one of them. It's a little weird that he never says anything like, I don't want, like, about not wanting to kill the person who he's literally standing with right now. Not just a matter of, I don't want to kill people. I prefer not to kill the person who saved my life and is helping me out.
Yeah.
And it does kind of bring up, I guess, the question of why she's going this far out of her way to help him out. But, I mean, I guess she just says, oh, I hate owing people favors.
Why did she take him to Kirei again?
Basically so that he can find out all about the Holy Grail War.
Okay. So, yes, she's still in the dark about him, I assume.
Yeah, the other it might be that it's also possible that when you're a participant, you're supposed to like register with Kirei or the person who's overseeing it or something. I'm not sure about the specifics, but no, she definitely doesn't know. She doesn't necessarily seem to like him that much, but she definitely does not know some, like the backstory stuff that's kind of important.
Yeah, imagine if we hadn't seen that. I mean,
well, you would know. You saw the original.
Yeah, I did. But
was it not revealed then? I would assume it was revealed.
I don't remember. It's been so long.
I mean, for all I know, maybe it didn't. That was the adaptation of the Saber route, although I know they took some elements from the other routes in the original anime, whereas this one is just the Rin route. So, of course, this is the part where you get all the important, where it's maybe that wasn't in the original route, and it was only revealed here.
Yeah.
I feel like when we're done with this, or at some point I should go back and look at the original anime and try to see how things went with that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was a fun enough episode. The show is good, enjoying it. Interested yep. to see where it goes forward, and also I'm interested because I've been spoiled on these things. I am interested on when they will be revealed in the series itself, because the characters don't know about it.
Yeah,
like Rin doesn't know about Kirei's all the stuff I keep talking about. Shiro doesn't know that his father was, because Kirei's like talking about the person who touched the grail was unworthy and blah blah. Like, Shiro does not know his father was the one who did that or any of that. Although there was one thing that was a little weird to me, and that's the part where it mentions Saber staying outside, because it indicated that, oh, she had some backstory with Kirei and it's not gone into. And I'm thinking, I mean, if she knew, well, I'm trying to suddenly think about how much did she actually meet or see of Kirei in Fate Zero? I don't remember if they actually interacted much. So, yeah, I guess there's just that. It is, yeah, there. I'm just repeating myself at this point. Let's move on. we're done with the anime. So, yeah, I guess we can give the top three stuff.
Yeah. Third place for this week. It would be Assassination Classroom. Second place would be Ascendance of a Bookworm. And first place will be Fate, which I'm now keeping track of my picks. So I got to put it into my spreadsheet here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, mine will be the same, just swap Assassination Classroom and Ascendance of a Bookworm.
Okay.
So that's all that stuff. I have been still going through my quest of, I'm going to watch, try to watch an episode of each of the new anime this season. And I was thinking I would kind of give some more updates on that, but since I'm kind of close to finishing it all off, I think I'm going to just wait until next week, and then I'll just go through them all quickly, I guess. Probably very quickly in some cases, but yeah. So yeah, we've got all of that. I just will say one thing. As is often the case, there's some very weird names in this, of the anime. There's Life with an Ordinary Guy Who Reincarnated into a Total Fantasy Knockout. And there's The Genius Prince's Guide to Raising a Nation Out of Debt. Hey, How About Treason? Which are both kind of silly. But I'm just thinking, guys, you don't need to do this anymore. You do not need to come up with these crazy names, because I have found the craziest name. I don't even know how you can top this one. This okay. is not the name of an anime, technically. It's a manga, but maybe it'll get an anime at some point, in which case, so I guess maybe anime still can compete, but this is the title of a manga I found out about. The Case of Me, a Pro Golfer Being Reincarnated as My Little Sister's Putter.
Is that for real?
Yes, The Case of Me, a Pro Golfer Being Reincarnated as My Little Sister's Putter.
So let me try to understand this. You're being reincarnated as a golf club, right?
Apparently.
You know, that sounds interesting.
It's about a guy who's a golfer, and he becomes his younger sister's golf club, and is going to try to make her a better golfer.
Oh boy, they talk about wish fulfillment. That is is it a hentai?
It's not a hentai, but from what I have heard, it is like, it does have a bunch of fan service.
Okay, and probably some incest too.
I don't know. It looks like there's only been one chapter out so far. It's a very new manga. I just mentioned that because its title is so insane that you just don't, there's no point. Don't try to compete with it.
I don't even know if it's the title that's as bizarre to me as the concept. I mean, that is just, it instantly brings the mind up about five types of fetishes that are are being represented in this show. So, yeah. Wow, that is something else. I'm gonna have to look into this. Let's see. Oh, look, is this really? Wow, I'm able to bring up. Someone did a scanlation of it, apparently.
I haven't even read it. Just the title and premise are so bizarre to me that that was enough for me to find out about it. For all I know, this thing will just be canceled in like one chapter, like that one series is that was about a bunch of isekai people that were all super obvious ripoffs of isekai protagonists, except they're all villains.
Yeah. Yeah. That was so funny that, So whatever happened with that?
It just caused controversy, and it got canceled after one chapter. And then like a few months later, the guy just started a different manga. He came out with a new one so fast, a lot of people just think, yeah, they probably knew this might be super controversial, so they just put it out and had a backup plan. And the thing is, that series wouldn't even have like been an issue if not for the fact that if it was like just a straight comedy, but it took itself seriously.
Oh man, I'm reading this manga right now. It is something special. I mean, so the guy raises his putter in the air and he gets struck by lightning, and that's how he dies to get reincarnated.
Yeah, the series gets some pretty strong fan service towards the end of the chapter. Yeah, I just mentioned that just because of the title. It's probably not a great series, but people, I think it just got attention because of that title. So, yeah. It reminds me of it. There was a light novel, or maybe it was a manga. I think it's a light novel that was just called Reborn as a Vending Machine, I Now Wander the Dungeon. But that one apparently was just a straight, that was like a parody series. It's about a guy who like gets reincarnated, who's a big fan of vending machines, and died in a traffic accident while protecting a vending machine. And then he becomes a vending machine in this alternate world, and his power is he's able to like produce weapons and stuff. So You know, you just have to stop and realize sometimes that anime is really weird. Okay, so that's all our discussion about the anime stuff. And so I guess we'll move on to our decidedly non-anime discussion of The Amazing Race, episode 3 of season 33. So the race has started again after being suspended. And you know, they kind of talk about some of the precautions. You know, they'll all use chartered flights. They'll like drive themselves around and a bunch of other things. So, yeah. And we find out, I mentioned earlier that I heard that two teams dropped out. I think I must have, either the source I read, which was before the series premiered, or was wrong, or I misunderstood it. But it actually, what happened is four teams dropped out and the two eliminated teams came back. And then then one of them was eliminated this episode.
Yeah, I was thinking they'd at least give them an episode to get back into things. I was thinking this would be a non-elimination leg. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it was a full normal thing. And those two guys, I feel so bad for them. They're just so bad with directions, kind of like me. Mm-hmm. I am terrible with directions. It's always dangerous anytime I have to go somewhere because I'm just so bad at figuring out where things go, that where to go. And yeah, but I felt bad for those guys. And then they did that whole belt backward.
Mm-hmm.
Like that seems like it shouldn't have been too hard to figure out, but I guess it was confusing. So,
I was also surprised that there was an elimination. I assumed because there's apparently the same number of legs, but there's two fewer teams, there are going to be more non-elimination legs than normal this season. So I just figured, they'll just do it here because that way, someone who got eliminated won't, you know, be immediately eliminated again, which might look bad, but which is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
yeah. Go ahead.
The funny thing is, not only did the team that got eliminated first get last place here and get eliminated, the second team that got eliminated got second to last place in this episode. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they were told you got to lose because we don't want the controversy of a losing team coming back to win the game?
I doubt it. I kind of think that if you were actually told that, that's the sort of thing you would say. You would actually kind of say, hey, they told me to lose, rather than just being, I guess I'll just be keep quiet about it.
Like, if you're getting paid enough, you know. Mm. I mean, if I was getting like a $10,000 bonus for it, I'd shut up.
Maybe it's possible, but I think it's more likely that it was just that it just hurt. I mean, maybe they were just a weak team, and that's why they got eliminated twice like this.
Yeah. Yeah, only once has Survivor had someone who was voted out and then went on to win the game. It was this horrible, horrible twist called Edge of Extinction, where basically everyone hung out on this other island and they would have two challenges that they could get back in the game. This guy got voted out third, so he was voted out really early on. And then the first challenge came, and he didn't win that one. And then there was a final challenge that he won to get back in the game. Then they just gave him an immunity idol. They're just like, he just woke up one morning. He's like, oh, wow, I got an immunity idol in my bag. And then he goes on to win the whole thing. And yeah, it was terrible. And with Survivor has been pretty bad the last four seasons, but that was one of the worst moments.
Yeah, they do mention in this was the first time in the Amazing Race that they brought back eliminated teams. Mm-hmm. So there's that. One thing I noticed, and maybe this is like a red herring, but I noticed that they had one of the teams, one of the female teams, like, mentions, man, it would be great if we had an all female team win this year, because that usually doesn't happen. And then later on, when they're on the mat, they like kind of reiterate that thing. And I'm thinking, oh, is this like just trying to say, oh yeah, that's totally going to happen, that's why we're focusing on it?
Yeah, I actually, to be completely honest, I thought the same thing. And that's usually like when you have a winner's quote on Survivor, someone says a certain thing and they're like, okay, that person's going to win this season, because what they said was like foreshadowing. So, I like to see it. My favorite team is Raquel and Kayla. They're my favorites, so I'm rooting for them. The old guy is pretty funny too. Penn, I think his name is. He's pretty funny. Like to see him do well. So, yeah. I thought it was a good episode, but I was shocked that they had actually gone overseas to do it. Like, I was thinking, okay, this is just going to be everything in America from now on, but I guess what they're doing is like lots of non-contact things, like things that you don't have to get close to anyone, you know, so you can socially distance while doing whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it seems that they're doing, because like all of these challenges were like in desolate, well, not desolate places, but you know what I mean? There mm-hmm. weren't that many people around. So yeah, I guess that's what they're going to do. And which is nice that they're actually, you know, not forcing them to just hang around the United States the whole time. I know my mom said she skipped one season because she was marathoning the seasons, and she skipped one season. And I don't know which one she skipped, but she said there was a certain season that was like supposedly really bad. Like, I think it might have had family members to it, and she skipped that one, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know the season she's talking about. There was a season where instead of like two people, they would have families, like, you know, two parents and two kids, and it all took it was all entirely in the U.S. and it's like mm-hmm. basically considered the worst season of the series. In mm-hmm. general, people didn't really care for it. So I'm gonna say that's probably part of the reason that they wanted to make sure you're still going out, you know, internationally to avoid what, because that was one of the criticisms people had of that season. They thought it was less interesting because everything was in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whenever it comes to Survivor worst season, it seems like every season is trying to one up the last season and how bad it was. The last four seasons have been rotten. It had a good, there was like this like really good season and called David versus Goliath, and ever since that one, it's been bad season after bad season. And David versus Goliath was the last good one. It's mainly, I think, because Jeff Probst has gotten too much power, so he basically makes the game however he wants it to go. And Yeah, it hasn't been going well. I'm also a little interested in how this schedule is going to go because I saw that Big Brother is coming back, and how are they going to have Big Brother, Survivor, and The Amazing Race? Like, are they all going to be on this at the same, like, are they all going to be on air? Not at the same time, you know what I mean. Like, are they all going to be running at the same time?
Yeah, it might be the case. And Big Brother, because that series takes up. I have maybe it's changed because I have not watched that series in at least a decade. But I remember that they always that series like that took up three slots because they would air it on 3 days. Three days a week because you know it was like a somewhat live show. They even had like people could even watch. You could sign up for if you were willing to pay a little bit. You could just watch everything on it live. Like you could go online and watch and just like watch what was going on in the house at that at any time.
Yeah, if they did that for Survivor, I'd be the first to sign up. I just love to see what that show is like behind the scenes. That would be amazing. Survivor, though, like whenever you find out like all the things behind it, it kind of like takes away from the experience watching it. It's like, oh, that really isn't the contestants doing the challenge right there. That's a bunch of body doubles redoing the challenge. And, like that's what they do for the overhead shots. They'll have people who look like the players, like they'll reshoot it. So, and that's the reason, like, why they have helicopter shots is like, how do you have helicopter shots if you can't hear the helicopter humming overhead? And it's like, oh, that's the reason why. And like, whenever they go places, they aren't like walking or swimming all that way. They're being picked up and dropped off where they're going, you know? So once you find out those things, it kind of makes like it kind of ruins the illusion for you know?
Are you talking about Big Brother or Survivor or both?
Survivor, Survivor.
Okay. 'Cause I was like thinking, 'cause I wouldn't know about, 'cause I, 'cause there's not really much of an opportunity for like far shots. Well, I mean, I think they might have done some, but they might like have a crane or something for all I know. But yeah, that is a series you can actually watch live. And actually that probably makes that probably makes it harder to edit it because you have because each episode is showing the stuff that happened over the last few days. You have to be constantly looking at this stuff and figuring out what to include. In a way, that makes me wonder if it might if like it's a more sort of genuine show because the people who edit it, they don't know who won. They don't they won't know who's going to win. They just have to pick what they think is important from that point and you know, they can't like be leaving hints and stuff like that. That's why they like have like the eviction announcements and stuff be live so that so that you know you can't so that people who are like you can't like have people who watch it online spoil it for people. okay so let's see actually but yeah I don't know maybe I should could check it out again although this upcoming season is apparently Celebrity Big Brother
Oh man. Well, who are the celebrities? Are they real celebrities?
actually that's an interesting question let me look into that I do wonder because like you Like I watched a little bit of The Masked Singer and or whatever it was called, and you know they actually, to be fair, some it's not the people they picked were like celebrities, but basically all of them were kind of, you know, so people who are famous and they were fairly famous and recognizable, but they also, most of them were like, you know, kind of behind, a bit past their prime, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like what were some of the ones on on the last season that I was, looking at? Like, I remember, like, Wayne Gretzky was on, I think, one. They had Sarah Palin was on it. So, like, that was like a year or two ago.
Masked Singer. Okay.
Like, the premise of that show is, what people do is, they go on, and, you know, they're all like in these like full body masks. You can't see what they are. And when they're talking, it's all, you know, digitally distorted, so you can't tell what they are. The only time you hear their actual voice is when they are singing, and they sing a song, and, you know, like, the judges are trying to guess who it is, and then, like, the viewer, the people, like, vote as to who, you know, goes home, and then their identities are revealed. And I'm let's see. Yeah, so the people we've got... Okay, so here, I'm just going to list the people who were apparently the celebrities in the most recent season, including... It lists Kermit the Frog as one of them. Apparently someone was playing Kermit. Yeah, Kermit was voiced and performed by Matt Vogel. So the full list of them are... and I'm probably going to be butchering some of these names. I apologize in advance. For that, there was Nick Lachey, there was JoJo, the singer, not anyone from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Wiz Khalifa, Omarion, Hanson, Tyrese Gibson, Tamara Mowry Housley, Bobby Brown, Mark McGrath, Nick Cannon, Logan Paul, Danny Trejo, Caitlyn Jenner, and then Kermit the Frog. So there's some like some of those are legitimately pretty big names, but most of them I actually have no idea who they are.
Who's going to be on this Big Brother season?
Right. That was what I was supposed to be looking up before I got distracted. Let me see if it... I don't know if it's been announced. I don't think it's been announced yet. Let me see. I am looking at it. I do not think the identities have been announced yet. Yeah, I'm not seeing any thing about that. So yeah, we don't know that yet, but I can look at what it was for the previous season. There was Celebrity Big Brother season 2 last time. There's I do not even know who most of these people are. Tamar Braxton, Ricky Williams, Lolo Jones, Dina Lohan, Candy Burris, Tom Green, Natalie Ava Marie, Kato Kalin, Joey Lawrence, Ryan Lochte. I don't know if the E at the end of it. Okay. Yeah. Jonathan Bennett and Anthony Scaramucci. Although it says they were a fake house guest, I'm not sure exactly how that worked, but maybe there's a thing. I don't know. I'm just looking at the Wikipedia thing. But yeah, I do not know who most of these people are. I mean, the thing about any celebrity series is that they're not going to be the biggest celebrities, because the biggest celebrities aren't going to be going on this sort of thing. It's the people who are kind of well known, but aren't the biggest things, and are kind of just trying to, you know, reinvigorate their you know, people knowing them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's all that stuff about The Amazing Race. The other last comment I guess they had there was the question of, what was her name again? I am so bad with most of these names. Sherry. Didn't she like mention Was it her or was it someone else who said they had a problem with heights? And then they say, well, I'll do the roadblock that, you know, is all about heights. And, you know, is all like kind of slowly going through it as a result. And I'm just thinking, why would you choose that if that's, if you, like, first off, I would say one, there's two things you should, well, there's three things that you should be able to do if you want to go on The Amazing Race. One, get over a fear of heights if you have it. Two, know how to drive a stick shift. Three, be able to balance stuff on your head well. Because there's always a challenge about that. Those are like the things you need to do. You know, beyond being good shape and stuff.
Mm. Okay.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot. So, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, not really.
All right. Well, with all that said, we'll be seeing you next week for more talk about other stuff, the return of One Piece, and more of us spending most of the podcast talking about stuff that isn't anime.
Bye, me.